Take out your Bibles. I mentioned in Bible class when we were looking at the very first start of the second epistle to the church at Corinth, there's this idea of Paul talking about suffering and in that suffering being comforted by God. And I mentioned that we would be talking some about these types of things this afternoon in our lesson, as we've titled it, Let Patience Have Its Perfect Work. And that is coming here from our text in James chapter 1. So if you'll be turning over to James 1, we'll start there and begin thinking about this idea of patience. There's two passages that really go hand in hand, and we're going to look at both of those in hopes that we can gain some insight into what trials and tribulations are supposed to accomplish in our life. How strong is your faith? I mean, that's an important question, because, you know, your conviction, your belief, your faith is tied directly to your confidence and trust in God, and understanding that there are going to be things that come into our life because that's how God has set things up, and they're going to turn our world upside down at times. But how we deal with those things is very important to us, but also important to God, because, you know, all throughout your life, you're being tested. James chapter 1, verse 3, which was read, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. These various trials, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. They're there to test us. They're there to see what we're made of. And we can go back, and there was things that God did with his people where he would do, and he says, I'm going to, you know, God has this right. He would give them instructions, and he would see, are they going to do what I told them to do? And they weren't just, you know, arbitrary things. These were things that would be good for them. And so we know that God tries us, and that really, when you think about your life, there's a lot of things that happen, and it's really to see what kind of person that you are. To see, we say, you know, to see what you're made of, and that's very important. Remember, how strong is your faith? And will I make it through this particular trial? Will I make it through this tribulation, as we'll see in the other passage? Or will I falter in my faith? Well, a lot of people just falter and fall away and just, you know, become distressed and really don't know what to do sometimes when trials come. So the things that we're going to look at, and the things that James is talking about, and we'll look at what Paul says over in Romans chapter 5 in just a moment, requires us to, again, be thinking about our faith and what the purpose is of trials and tribulations. And then look at what he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And then this requires us to have joy when this type of thing happens. And we'll, you know, think more about these trials and tribulations, but to count it all joy when this happens, well, that's a different perspective, isn't it? And that requires within us a different perspective on trials. And really, that's what I want us to understand, is if we can wrap our mind around the purpose of trials, tryings of our faith, things that really test us, then when it comes, we can count it all joy, because we see that there's supposed to be benefit. And that takes a lot of proper perspective to be able to understand and to put this into practice. And so I think that if you think about some of the things as we're talking about them and looking at the scriptures, you're going to see we're going to spend a lifetime trying to figure out how to navigate these types of things. And so this proper perspective and outlook, and some type of outlook that knows the trying of your faith, that's a good thing. This is a good thing that I'm going through. And that can be rather challenging. But what is it that makes the trying of my faith a good thing? Because knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces patience. And that's what we're going to talk about. What is it that James is talking about? What does he go on to explain? And this will be our lesson this afternoon. Now, I'll mention that when we get over Romans chapter 5, the first thing is going to be this idea of perseverance. So we won't spend a lot of time on that point, but Paul will build on that. And so as you consider the lesson, I hope that it will be of benefit to you. The testing of your faith produces patience. It's supposed to accomplish something. There is a work that is to be accomplished by the trial. And that's hard to sometimes recognize when the trial comes. So this would be one of those lessons that we would call it the preventative maintenance part. To already know that, let's say something happens in the upcoming weeks or months, that you begin a trial, that you'll be able to think back to these particular passages and realize that these are there can be things to our benefit. What the trial or the testing is to produce. Well, in this passage, he says it's to produce patience. It is to produce patience. Now, patience, and I stress this often, there is the place of learning how to stand in a line and be patient and wait your turn. But that's really not what he's talking about. He's talking, although there is that aspect when you're going through a trial to realize that we're going to have to, you know, this isn't going to be solved today. It doesn't appear it's going to be solved tomorrow. And this may take quite a bit of time to be able to get through. And that would require patience the way that we talk about it. But the word patience means a constancy. It produces a constancy that I am going to continue in the direction that I am going. It also means, and that was from Thayer. Thayer, we could use in your translation, may actually say endurance. And so now we're looking at this idea of I'm going to endure this trial. I'm going to see it to its end. And sometimes you think about people's health, that can be a lifetime trial to where, you know, we have to have this endurance, this constancy. And so a trial is toughening you and I up. And that's really a lot of what trials are meant to do. It's to help us learn the lesson of stick to it. Stick to it. Stick it out during the various trials of life. And that can be challenging. And you know, there are times that, you know, we struggle with some that are having greater trials and longer trials than perhaps we are, but, you know, around the corner, there's often those things for us. The ESV must have, patience is a constancy. The ESV actually translates this steadfastness, and that, again, gives you the idea of moving in a direction, and of course our direction would be towards our goal of going to heaven, and there's a determination and a constancy and endurance, a steadfastness that we would pursue. And so that version reads, the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. So as you learn how to deal with the various challenges of life, you are learning how to be steadfast. That's the produce. That's what it's supposed to produce. The trial is supposed to make me learn how to endure. Stick to it. Stay steadfast. And of course, the most important thing here is we're talking about our faith, the trying of our faith. That principle is used in sports, you know, stick to it, stay steadfast, keep at it, you know, keep enduring, no pain, no gain, all of those types of things. But we're talking about things, of course, that are much more important when we think about the testing of our faith. There is a 16th, 17th century playwright, poet, his name was Ben Jonson. He said this, he knows not his own strength that hath not met adversity. And that's the idea of what's the trial supposed to do. It's to see who you are. And and that is a good thing. Now consider that the trial itself is counted all joy. Counted all joy. Now I'm supposed to be happy about going through this? Well, a good example that I think of is Peter and John. Go over to Acts chapter 5. And I think that, again, a lot of what we're looking at is, you may be thinking, well, there's trials in life, trying of my faith, and that may be because of some kind of challenge to my beliefs, or because I'm a Christian, or something of that nature. And that may be true, and probably is very highlighted. That's certainly the case here in Acts chapter 5. But in Acts chapter 5, look at verse 40 and 41. And this, again, takes perspective, proper perspective, to even understand how in the world Peter and John could have this attitude. And so they're before the council. The council has told them, you stop preaching Jesus. They continue to do so. And it says in verse 40, and they agreed with him, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let him go. So they departed from the presence of the council, grumbling and complaining, kicking dirt, that they were... No, that's not what that says. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That's the proper perspective. To be able to see the joy in being able to endure, to go through something. And in this case, again, it's because they're disciples and followers of Christ. And there's going to be times that that happens. What will be my attitude? Will I rejoice? Will I count it all joy when these types of trials come upon us and endure that? You know, this truth allows us to look back at what we endured. A lot of times this is kind of like providence. You, in the moment, sometimes I want us to get to, and I need to get to the point where in the moment, this is where I'm at. But we look back at something on its end and say, oh, I made it through it. And then we're happy. We see the benefits because that made our faith stronger. And as I said at the start, well, that's going to be based upon your view of life. And this is why we often will say, well, how do people even make it through life without God? And that is very puzzling, to say the least, that people even try to navigate life without God's word. And yet so many do that, millions and millions. We can take courage that we made it through, and we can rejoice that we have passed the test. Think of that, you know, that we have made it through and we have endured the hardship. And then we think of what he says. He says, let patience have its perfect work. Back in our text of James chapter 1 and in verse 4. So the trying of your faith is to produce patience, and let patience have its perfect work. Well, you start thinking about, well, how in the world can patience have its perfect work? Well, this is why I already mentioned. Think of the opposite of what patience having its perfect work would be. Instead of having steadfastness and constancy, you know what? I waver. I grumble. I complain. I become bitter. You see, that to me would be the opposite of what the trial of our faith is to produce. So we're learning on, and we're working on learning how to strengthen our faith at such times. And so a trial or test is to strengthen who we are. Think of the example you set for others when you go through a trial. Do you display a godly attitude, godliness? Maybe, you know, the things that confront you. I think this is what Jesus meant when he said, take up your cross and follow me. I see a strong connection there. Every day we have to bear the things that are, you know, confront us in our life. And that can be a daily challenge. That can be something that right now everything seems to be going good, and then tomorrow things change. And I hope, and you know, I of course don't want that to happen to anybody, but we understand that that's how life is. And we don't even have to wait till tomorrow, because there's still day today. And so we just don't know. So take up your cross and follow me. I think this is this what we're talking about. Your faith being constant and steadfast and enduring, patience having its perfect work, is this idea of taking up your cross. And so how did Jesus face his challenges? Well, we've been looking at that. What did he do in Gethsemane? He prayed. What should you and I do? James chapter 5 and verse 13 says, is any among you suffering? What should you do? Pray. So prayer is one of those things that helps us tremendously. And you remember this morning we looked at in the garden, after he had prayed to his Father, I pointed out he went forward. He went forward. He moved forward. He went to the cross. And so prayer is something that helps us go forward. Now, what is prayer? Prayer is just like Jesus. It's speaking to your Father. And that can be very comforting, because there's times that I mentioned, you know, we sing the song, "Where can I go but to the Lord?" And friends are dear, and you know, we're very, but there's something about being able to talk to the creator of all things and have his ear and cast our cares upon him, because he cares for us. And then I've always appreciated the fact that we can call him our Father. You know, I lost my physical father, but I've always had my spiritual father since the day that I became a follower of Jesus Christ. And so this steadfastness that is learned is just a great asset for future trials. And that's what we'll see in the next verse. For future trials, this steadfastness, because that leads to other things. So the testing of your faith, or the trying of your faith, produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work. Now let's turn over to Romans chapter 5, where you will see the same type of language, but it's like Paul just keeps on going and gives us some more things to think about. Let's look at the first three verses of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now tribulations are, you know, we talked about trials, but the word tribulation, and we looked at this, I think, even in the start of our study this morning, it may be a suffering. A tribulation may be some type of pressure. You remember I was defining the word tribulation, and it may be, and the idea is actually a pressing. is the way that word is defined, some type of pressure, and we understand this. We call it peer pressure, those types of things. That's where we're feeling some type of pressure to do something, a tribulation. It also conveys the idea of bearing a burden, and when you bear a burden, always think about when you bear something, what do? Well, you know, picture putting on a backpack. Now you've got extra weight, which is going to press down, but you have to bear it, bear your cross. You see that in that word there as well. there's some type of trouble going on. Maybe even some form of persecution. So all that's kind of wrapped up in the idea of tribulations. There's various aspects of that. But is that tribulation supposed to produce something? Is there supposed to be some type of benefit from that tribulation? And you look at those words and you think, suffering? Some type of pressure? Some kind of pushing at me? Some type of pushing me down? Some, you know, trouble? Am I persecution? Is that supposed to produce something? And the answer is yes. And that's the point James was making in the verses that we already examined. And so the first thing is that tribulations produce perseverance, patience. It's the same thought. So we don't really have to spend a lot of time on that one because it's really the same word. Produces perseverance, produces patience, steadfastness, constancy, that idea. But what does that produce? And so now we're going to go, you know, let it have its perfect work. Well, what does that produce? Character. It's character building. Some of the versions translate it experience. It produces experience. And I think you'll see that both of those words are pretty closely related from the standpoint of when you go through something, what do you gain? Experience. But what else? What you also gain is what we often say is character. I know Brother Tim said this to Emma when the difficulties came, and he said, well, this is going to make you stronger, was the idea. And that was encouraging because that's what you have to look at this. This is going to develop character. And there's a lot of people that say things like, people don't know how to deal with any kind of tribulations or trials, any type of hardships. They don't know how to do this. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. What? Well, as a Christian, we know we have tools that others do not have. And so it makes them develop character. And so I like that word, that when we gain experience in the trial and tribulation, it's making us a better character. It's building upon the other, which is ultimately strengthening our faith. It's not making us doubt or blame or become bitter towards God. It's actually going in the right direction, and that is that we understand ahead of time that preventative maintenance, that these types of things are going to happen. They're going to test us. And so how are we going to do? Is it going to build our character? Who we are as disciple is observed. In fact, others often see how we handle going through some type of adversity, tribulation, suffering. And our character can either be strengthened or it can be weakened. And God wants us to endure. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to produce something on the other side and for us to be better for it. And then add this idea back in of count it all joy. To be able to look at this and say, boy, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I know on the other end, I'm going to be better for it. And I actually really almost bring a smile to your face. You see, that's approaching things in a way that the world doesn't even know how to touch. And the world says, well, you know, you just got to get mad and throw things and let your steam out and all these kinds of things. But that's certainly not what we see the scriptures teaching you and I. So he wants us to endure and to be better for it and see the joy that there's going to be spiritual growth. Now, you would think, well, the more trials I have and the more experience or character building, the happier I'm going to be. You remember I was talking about those slides about how things are supposed to correlate? So it seems like the more we go through them, somehow we actually can look at these and smile. And that's kind of difficult. And I'm not saying I have it figured out, and I don't know that any of you would say you've figured it out. But there's our goal and there's our aim. Now, what is that supposed to produce? Hope. This tribulation produces this perseverance, which produces character, which produces hope. And all of this, of course, is the trying of our faith, the strengthening of our faith. Let's go back to verse 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified, we're in Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Because we're justified by faith, we can have peace. And this goes to, how do you have a peace that surpasses all understanding? Well, that's because you understand Jesus. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's how you have peace. And our faith has gained access into God's grace, His loving favor, His forgiveness. Brother Gary prayed about being forgiven and forgiving others. And that causes a great joy that we have in this hope. The hope that there is something far better than what we may be enduring. I used to tell you, Inez, I can't remember, I think her last name was Taylor, Inez Taylor, Sister Inez Taylor. We'd go visit, when we moved to Richmond, she was already in some type of assisted living facility, and I think when she passed, she was like 96. And so she's like 94, 95, 96, and we'd go visit her, and she'd look at me, she goes, "That's long enough." She's like 90, "That's long enough." She was her endurance. she saw the end. And that's what we're talking about. Our perseverance and character grows. And when that grows, guess what's sliding along with it? And that's going back to the illustration I used this morning. Here's that hope pedal over here, sliding up with it. Our anticipation of what lies ahead, what is to come. And that's an anchor for the soul. And notice what he says in verse 5. Now hope, I don't even know how you read this. And hope, that doesn't disappoint. You see how, that's not going to disappoint. Hope is not going to disappoint. It does not disappoint. Well, you may hope that something happens. We've got some young boys here, and they hope for things. They hope to catch a fish. They hope to get this. They hope to get that. And they get excited about these types of things. And then when it doesn't happen, you're disappointed. I didn't catch anything. I didn't get what I wanted. And that's the part of the child and the growing up and the maturing where we start realizing that there are disappointments in life. Not everybody gets a trophy. That's a big one these days. Romans 15 and verse 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That you may abound in hope. What does God offer to those who endure trials and tribulations? Well, joy, peace in believing. See, again, that's knowing where all of this ends. And always having that, setting our affection on things above. Where's our goal? Pressing towards the mark, the prize. That's always the end. The hope that abounds in Jesus Christ. There's a story told of an elderly man. He was a singer. He was a fine singer. And he learned he had cancer of the tongue and that he was going to have surgery. And in the hospital, after everything was ready for the operation, the man asked the doctor, "Are you sure I'll never sing again?" And the doctor really couldn't get that out and kind of shook his head, "No, you won't." The patient then asked if he could sit up for a moment. Now think about this. He said, "I've had many good times singing the praises of God and you now tell me I'll never sing again. I have one song that will be my last. And it wasn't prop me up by the jukebox until I die. He says it'll be my gratitude and praise to God. So in the presence of the doctor, he sang softly the words by a man, Isaac Watts. And here's the words. I'll praise my maker while I have breath. And when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler power. My days of praise shall never be past. While life and thought and being last, our immortality endures. This man's trial was obviously faced with past experiences. See, that's what an experience is. I've experienced it. I've gained something. My character's been built. I experienced something else. I've endured. My character is built. My experience is increased. My hope is greater. So many people go the opposite direction. And passages like this tell us, you've heard me say it too many times, God does not lie. He told us we're going to die. He's told us that we're going to be tried. He's told us there's going to be tribulations. You may suffer as a Christian. In fact, if you're a Christian, you're going to suffer. So embrace that. Find joy in that. And press on and let it build us up. And understand that we will one day be immortal beings giving praise to God. One last passage in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. This is after chapter 11 where he talks about all the great people of faith. Really shouldn't be a chapter break because he says, therefore, in conclusion to all these people I've talked about, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross, which we've talked about this morning, despising the shame that it brought. Cursed is anybody that hangs on a tree. They spit on him, mocked him. He endured the cross. He despised the shame that they cast at him and has sat down where? At the right hand of the throne of God. There is the author and finisher of our faith. And where is he? He's sitting at the right hand of his Father. So we go through things with joy. We rejoice in tribulations in our life. We count it all joy when our faith is tried, these various trials. Because there's great reward. There's great reward for those that endure. And that is our hope. That is our hope. The hope of eternal life. Is this your hope? Do you have that type of hope before you? I hope that you do, and I trust that you do. And I hope that this has been some way to strengthen your resolve to be more dependent upon God and more determined to go through the various trials of life. Well, you might be here this afternoon, and you are not a Christian. We want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, turn from your sins, confess your belief in Christ, and be baptized to wash your sins away. Maybe you're a child of God and you have sin in your life. And what that does is that separates you from God. Things are not good. If Christ were to come, you're not ready. Make yourself ready. If we can help anyone in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.